Welcome to the Luxury Listing Specialist Podcast with Michael Lafito, where top luxury agents reveal their best practices, plus interviews with real estate industry influencers, thought leaders, and luxury marketing experts. You'll come away from each episode with new strategies and tactics to dominate high-end homes in any market. And now for the latest episode of Luxury Listing Specialist. Here's your host, luxury real estate expert, coach, and trainer, Michael Lafito.
Welcome back to another episode of the Luxury Listing Specialist podcast. I'm your host, Michael Lafito. You're in the right spot if you're an agent looking to work smarter, not harder. If you're looking to increase your average sale price of a home you represent in 2020, you're in the right place. Again, we have from time to time different guests on from different experience, whether they be a newer luxury agent, an experienced luxury agent, or they're an influencer or a service provider that will help agents, whether it be lead generation or conversion, that sort of thing. Today's guest, I'm really excited, it's one of the first millennials we've had on our show. So we're trying to identify and target different niches within our listenership. But before I introduce Sarah, I want to just remind you, if you have any questions about today's episode or previous episodes, please shoot us an email at support@marketingluxurygroup.com. And if you haven't checked out our certification, Luxury Listing Specialist, we just launched a new website, our back end, our membership site area. I'm so excited about it. You can check it out, luxurylistingspecialist.com. If you're really dead serious about raising the bar, and the one thing about our certification versus others is we don't have a sales requirement. If you're an agent and you land a luxury listing, we believe you should have the tools and resources to be successful now, today, to get that luxury listing sold. And that's why we don't have a sales requirement. Again, we do have some great gear out there. Check it out, luxuryspecialsgear.com, luxuryspecialsgear.com. And don't forget to leave us a review. If you get some nuggets from this podcast, a previous podcast, go to iTunes or Stitcher and leave us a review, or leave us a review on our book on Amazon. All right, let's get into today's episode. Today's episode, I'm really excited. I have Sarah Knauer, right, Sarah? Did I pronounce it correct?
That's right. Yes, Michael.
So from Amalfa Estates, you guys service the West LA, Brentwood, Bel Air, Pacific Palisades market, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
You and I met at the Luxury Connect event in October of 2019, which is a great event. Brad Inman and his team do an amazing job. I recommend it. I did one of the breakout sessions there, as did Anthony. And what's Anthony's role at your company? Is he the team leader, the broker owner?
A little bit of both. Anthony Margulis founded Amalfi Estates about 26 years ago. So it is a boutique agency. It's just one branch. And then over the last 3 or 4 years, he did transition into growing a team. So he is now the team leader, and there's about 10 of us total on the team.
So Anthony, I've had on my show, a great guy. And Anthony said, listen, if you're looking to have someone on your podcast about millennials, and hey, I'm a millennial, how I broke into selling high-end and luxury, you need to have Sarah on your show. And so here we are, 4 months later, and we got you on the show. We're really excited. So Sarah's she'll be doing over 30 million in volume this year. And I checked with her ahead of time. You got to always check. As a guy, I've learned what to do and what not to do. And she said it was okay. As a 27-year-old, Sarah is selling more volume than her age, which is very impressive. And because I'm 27 as well, I'm kidding, that would be very impressive for me too. But no, in all seriousness, Sarah, I'm really excited about having you on. And again, being 27, being a younger agent, now I think you said you've been licensed for about 6.5 years. What are you seeing as far as objections that you had in your marketplace where the average sale price, an entry-level home or a starter home, is going to be in that $2 to $3 million price point, and you're selling above that starter price point? What are you seeing, and what have you seen as far as your biggest difficulties and objections that you had to overcome as a younger agent breaking into and now consistently selling high-end and luxury properties?
So for me, it was really about showing that client, you know, how knowledgeable I am, and that even though maybe I am a lot younger than a lot of the agents they might be meeting as they go about to open houses, or that they see, you know, in advertisements around town, but actually because I, you know, have worked in this team capacity, and I even, you know, I was Anthony's assistant for a couple of years before I transitioned into doing my own sales, that I actually have more experience in the number of transactions that I've been involved with than many of the other agents that they might be meeting with. So, you know, even when I was 24, 25, I had worked intricately in, you know, 100 deals, where many of these agents are maybe doing 4 or 5 deals a year. So, you know, I had more experience, and also just working for, you know, the top agent in the area, they see me a lot. They know that I'm, you know, I work with a credible team. They see my face all around town at the open houses, and they realize, oh, you know, this is her full-time job. This isn't somebody who's working part-time as an agent.
Great point. So again, you had some experience to see the transactions as an assistant. I tell agents all the time, grow your knowledge and your confidence will grow. So some of the terminology, you know, talking to your team leader at the time or somebody that you work with about the transaction, maybe being comfortable with the paperwork or dealing with the clients, you know, trying to get a hold of the team leader, trying to get a hold of the agent was something that you were already experienced with. So you felt like you kind of knew the knowledge, is that, and you know some of the terminology. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. You know, I knew the ins and outs of the contracts because I've written all the offers and written the counter offers. And you know all the other agents in the area, in the marketplace that you're working with. You know, they're most likely, especially if you're that assistant, you might be the first person they call to even get their clients in to see, you know, one of Anthony's listings at that time. Or I was the one reaching out, setting up the appointment. You know, I was able to show our listings to, you know, celebrities and high net worth individuals. So even just in that assistant capacity, I got my feet wet being really comfortable around those type of people.
Yeah, that's great. And while we're at it, of course, if you were to give advice to agents that unfortunately don't have the luxury of being in West LA or some of these marketplaces where the average sale price is well above $2 million, you know, are there any nuggets, any suggestions that you'd have if you know, you were to talk to yourself, Sarah, 6.5 years ago and you were in a marketplace that, you know, didn't have the type of inventory that you currently have?
I would still start by identifying what that luxury price point is for your market. So, you know, maybe your average price point is $500,000, but there's a neighborhood that, you know, they're selling $800,000 homes. I would put together a, you know, a business plan that outlines how you can break into that higher end market. You know, where can you meet those people? Where do they hang out? What open houses can you start doing that are in that higher price point so you can meet buyers in that price point? Or what neighborhood are those houses in that you can start, you know, farming and targeting and get to know really well, know all the streets, know the parks, know the schools that maybe the kids' schools go to, all of that. Just try to break into that world and identify what that price point and what that world might be, and then go from there.
That's good advice. And again, for our certification, Luxury Listing Specialist, we defined high-end homes for any given market as homes that are priced 2 times the average sale price. So it's all relative. I was doing this training recently in the middle of Indiana for an Explode conference. Maybe you've heard of Matt Fagioli. He does these conferences all over the country. And he had me do a training for him with him in the middle of Indiana. And the average sale price, I've never been at a training where the average sale price was this low. It was $80,000. So $80,000 for an average sale price. 80, and we define high-end homes as 2 times the average sale price, so 80 times 2. So in that market, there were a lot of homes that were 160 to 200. So that's what a high-end home would be, because 2 times the average sale price. And Sarah, we define luxury for our certification training as 3 times the average sale price. So in that case, 80 times 3 or 240. And she said, the one gal said, hey, Mike, we have a lot of 250s to 400s and 500s. We just don't have a lot of $700, $900 million plus here in this particular market. It was Kokomo, Indiana. And so I share that with you because in West Beverly Hills, if the average sale price is 2.5, well, then 3.5 might not be considered luxury. It might be 6 or 7 million. It's all relative, but same thing. If you're a newer agent or you're an agent that hasn't sold high-end and luxury, I would tell you to work other agents on your team or your office that do have those high-end and luxury listings. That would be one of the things I would do is I would work those open houses for them, even though they might not think open houses will help sell those high-end homes. It's interesting. I had a Sotheby agent out of Scottsdale, Arizona, and she was selling a $7.5 or $8 million listing, and she used to host weekly open houses at her $7 million plus listing, knowing that you might not get a lot of traffic and you might get some tire kickers, but you might get some $2 million buyers and some $5 million buyers and maybe some $10 million buyers. And it was a great way for her to meet with people, and she would kill two birds with one stone: appease the seller that says, hey, why aren't you doing X, Y, and Z to sell my home? But also, it's a great way to get in front of high net worth buyers. So those are some really good tips that you suggested, Sarah. And talk to us a little bit about, you know, you got 30 million in volume. What are some best practices you're currently doing to get in front of the current clients and future clients?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So, definitely open houses. I won't harp much more on that, but open houses is really important. Even, you know, just meet people. You never know how long. I just sold a very expensive home to somebody that I met 3 years ago at an open house. So it's always worth doing that and staying in touch with them, especially on that higher end price point. It's really worth it to continue to nurture those relationships over a longer period of time because maybe they're not in as much of a rush to buy, but when they do, the payoff will be really rewarding. And then something else is just to get really involved as much as possible. Again, like I said, in the kind of world where those people might be already. So whether it's a high-end networking group and you're going to, you know, network with other professionals like estate planning attorneys or, you know, other types of lawyers or insurance agents that do more high-end products, I would try to get into a high-end networking group. Even joining a club, you know, I joined a beach club because that's what we have out by us. And that was really helpful to solidify some relationships with people that were looking to buy homes. And it's fun. Plus, it kind of helps ingrain those relationships. And maybe it's a golf club out by you or tennis or, you know, horses, something, whatever you're interested in, something like that, I would recommend getting involved in as well. And then also charity events have been really big for us, you know, being involved with charity, donating a portion of our commission to charity, and then inviting clients to attend, you know, galas or dinners, whatever those charities are putting on that we can invite them to and connect with over that. That's been really huge as well. And then finally, I would say just making sure all that, you know, all your marketing and how you present yourself, whether, you know, how you dress in person, how you talk or what you, you know, hand out to your clients, that all of that looks really sharp and really professional and doesn't look discounty in any sort of way.
Hey there, it's Michael Lafito. Thanks again for listening to our podcast. If you are interested in signing up for our Luxury Listing Specialist certification, or if you want additional information on how you can dominate selling higher end homes in your marketplace, make sure you go to luxurylistingspecialist.com.
That's a great point. So nonprofits, philanthropic organizations or causes, there's a lot of C-level high net worth individuals that will sit on those boards or that attend those events, of course. So you're absolutely correct with that. So those are some really good advice. If you're a younger agent, a newer agent looking to differentiate yourself, are you doing any kind of unique closing gifts or unique closing experiences, i.e. sponsoring or helping out with housewarming parties? Talk to me about things that either you or Anthony or maybe other team members are doing that are a little bit different from an experience standpoint or a, you know, closing standpoint.
Mm-hmm. We tried to do the housewarming parties. It didn't seem to work out great for our market. Our main closing gift really is the charity. And when, you know, there's several thousands of dollars being donated on behalf of your client, they feel really good about that. And that seems to be one of the best, you know, ways to kind of wrap up the sale at the end. And then again, if possible, we invite them to the next event that charity is putting on, mm-hmm. another way to connect with them. Another agent, in my office, she's been doing closing gifts where she'll try to get something personal for each member of the family. So, you know, she might get a wine that the parent likes or a gift card to a restaurant that she thinks will enjoy it. But then she'll also get, you know, a coloring book for the kid and get it wrapped cute and something that each person can open to really connect with the entire family. And that seems to really stand out as well.
Okay. Well, you talked about the longer sales cycle and you couldn't be more right. So one of the things that we teach with our course, Sarah, is we tell agents to diversify their portfolio of price points of homes they represent, whether mm-hmm. it be represent on the buy side or on the listing side. So, you know, we talk about buckets, the four primary buckets of price points of homes are entry level or starter homes, average priced homes, high end homes, and luxury homes. So it is a longer cycle. And because some of those upper markets, those homes not only take longer to sell, but it takes a longer time to convert them from a, hey, I've met this person, I need to stay in contact with them and bring value so they know I know what I'm talking about. And you just mentioned you recently had a transaction for somebody you met 3 years ago. Talk to me about some of the ways that you stayed in contact with them.
So for them, it really started out where they lived across the street from a teardown that we were selling. And they knew eventually they wanted to sell their house. So he would call me, you know, almost daily and ask about, you know, how's it going? You know, are there any offers? What price are you going to escrow for? You know, and just being happy to answer those questions at any time that he called, even though it was, you know, taking away from a lot of the other time that I had on my plate. Then, you know, just checking in from time to time with them, you know, via email or text goes a long way, inviting people to lunch or coffee. And even if, you know, they're busy and they probably can't, just even extending the invite, it really is nice. We also will invite most of our clients to come pick up a pie from us at Thanksgiving time. And, you know, I probably bought, you know, 50 pies this year, and people come into our office and they pick up the pie, and it's a nice gesture. They appreciate it. You know, if they can't make it, if they're out of town, I'll try to send them the pie if possible. You know, for $30 and to strengthen a relationship like that, goes a long way. Just telling people again, like in that situation, oh, hey, I know you're not ready to do anything, but here is another home that came on the market on your street. Oh, now it's an escrow. Now it's closed. Look at that fantastic price that they got, whatever that might be. Keeping them informed, just making it so that you're the resource. You're that person that they go to whenever they have a question about something on the market.
Great, great ideas. All great ideas. All right. Well, Sarah, this has been very informative. Is there something that I haven't asked or I haven't shared? I know you did a presentation on this recently that you'd like to share with my audience?
Yeah, I mean, I'm also happy to send the link out to you if you want to share it with anybody in the audience.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah, absolutely happy to do it. Something else that's been helpful for us is having a really in-depth knowledge of off-market inventory or, you know, pocket listings, especially a little bit on that higher end. You know, people, they want what everyone can have, you know? And so keeping, you know, every time an agent sends out an email with a pocket listing, we make a database of that so that we can go back to that person that comes into an open house and it says, look, I love this house. It's $7 million, but it's not quite right. We've seen everything on the market. Do you have anything else that might work? We can go back to that list. We can call the top agents in the area and see, you know, if anybody has something coming up or that, you know, for whatever reason, the sellers haven't wanted to actually put on the multiple listing service and to show clients those off-market homes. That's been really helpful. And then just, you know, keeping a good list of what we have sold off-market so we can use that when trying to gain a new client. Say, look, we've sold 4 houses, you know, in this last 6-month period alone off-market. We work really hard finding off-market properties for our exclusive clients. So if you want to work with us and hopefully find that perfect property, you need to, you know, sign a buyer broker agreement with us that we can go to work for you and do that.
That's a great idea and great way to stay in contact and bring value. You know, we're talking about millennials. Sarah, you're a millennial in your 20s, doing over 30 million in volume. Very impressive, by the way. So have you, for those of you that are listening, they might have this question. Are you tapping into, you know, your friends from college and from as far as Sphere is concerned and database, your friends from high school and college, are you finding some pushback from their parents, right? Maybe growing up in a certain neighborhood, their parents, as far as, well, she's young, what does she know? She's, you know, she hasn't accumulated the kind of wealth that we have. Here we are in our 50s, 60s, 70s, 40s. You know, what's a millennial going to do to sell my home? You know, she's not one of us yet. I mean, are these some things that have directly come out, or you know they're the elephants in the room in some of your meetings or your conversations when a prospect reaches out to you and they realize how young you are?
You know, I think two parts here. For actually the people that, like, you know, I went to high school and I went to college with that now are, you know, starting to buy homes, which actually is a great source of business for millennials, I will say. Like when your friends start to get married or have a baby, send them a present, send them a gift, and they'll probably like, oh, I was actually meaning to talk to you, you know, or support their new business or whatever that is. And they'll probably reach out to you. And also, I have to say, I think there's a social media, I think, plays a big point of that or a big part of that, where it's really easy to make it look like you are super successful. And that's what they see, right? And so they always think, oh, Sarah's doing so awesome. Sarah's so on it. Sarah's, you know, so good at what she does. That's their constant reminder, and that's what they see. And so I think they kind of communicate that even to their parents. And hopefully, you know, you and your friends are all successful. So they, you know, their parents see their children as being successful. So they probably think that their friends are too. And then if it was maybe somebody else that maybe they don't know me as well, or I meet them at an open house and they think, wow, I'm really young, it's a cold call or whatever it might be, then I just go back to, look, yes, I am young, but this has been my full-time, you know, career since, you know, even before I graduated college. And, you know, I've been involved in 150 transactions very closely. And that's a lot more than most agents are doing, you know, even over their whole career. And I try to go back to that and just being very knowledgeable and having the answers to their questions. And that usually works. And again, carrying yourself professionally, you know, dressing nice or dressing like the people in my community do, I think that helps a lot because you just present a more confident and a little bit more polished, you know, initial look when you do meet somebody.
That's really, really good advice there. Appreciate that. You know, one of the things I tell agents all the time is if you're a younger agent and you have an opportunity to go on a big luxury listing appointment or for that matter, a buyer, you know, that is out of your price point that you're comfortable with. And again, we all have limiting beliefs. And at some point, Sarah, maybe for you, it might be that $25 million or that $50 million listing appointment based on, you know, West LA. But for other agents, it might be a different price point. You know, I do recommend strength in numbers. So if you're a younger female, show up on that appointment with an older agent from your office, probably a male. And if you're a younger male, maybe show up with a female that has some experience. And so you're represented both male and female and younger and newer. And there's strength in numbers. So, again, you really laid out some good nuggets for that millennial agent. And we've actually, on our 66th episode, we had two representatives from Wealth Engine, which we've partnered up with. They provide some great information and some free report. There's a free report. If you guys go to Luxury Listing Podcast, luxurylistingpodcast.com, look for our 66th episode. And if you scroll all the way down to the bottom, you can get a version of the Millennial Wealth Report that they created, the Millennial Wealth Report. You can download it straight there as well. And there's some great information about millennials and wealth and And there's a lot of things that you'll be surprised with. There's a lot more millennials that are wealthy out there than you think. But of course, this episode is really focused on how to break into and dominate selling high-end and luxury if you are a millennial agent. And you really provided some great valuable information, Sarah. If I'm an agent and I want to send a referral to West LA, and how does somebody find you? What's the best way for them to get in touch with you, Sarah?
I would say probably by email. And my email address is Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, at AmalfiEstates.com. That's Amalfi, like the Amalfi Coast, and then Estates with a plural with an S.com.
Awesome. Well, really good information. I appreciate your time today, Sarah.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Thanks so much for having me, Michael.
You're welcome. You're welcome. As always, if you guys have any questions about today's episode, or if you'd like to nominate somebody else to be on this podcast, please shoot us an email, support@marketingluxurygroup.com. And if you're dead serious about increasing your average sale price of a home you represent, if you want to work smarter, not harder in 2020, check out our certification, luxurylistingspecials.com, Luxury Listing Specials. And exciting news, our book, Luxury Listing Specials, is being translated, is coming out in Spanish in first quarter in 2020. So we're excited about that and some other languages following suit. If you're ever looking for a speaker at your event, shoot me a note. You can send that to support@marketingluxurygroup.com. And we look forward to helping you. We want to continue to raise the bar in the industry. My name is Michael Lafito. Prove others wrong. Until next time, take care.